And we study the heart of Paul and realizing that in his philosophy of ministry, he continues to give you the credit. And Father, we just pray as we study tonight that you open our heart and our minds, and may we glorify you in the process and when it's all done. God, we just thank you and praise you in your son's name. Amen. All right, I appreciate that song. It's a great reminder. Goes a little fast, so you got to breathe a little and sing loud, something like that. But it's a great song, but I trust that you enjoy that. But turn your Bibles to Romans 15. We're going to continue on with this. Basically, Paul is beginning to wind down the letter that he has written to Romans. And we saw as we began this section in the conclusion, starting on verse 14 of chapter 15, the conclusion he began and he started talking. And again, Paul, as we talked already through some of this, that he was giving his personal plans, his philosophy of ministry. And I tell you, when you take the time and just listen to what Paul was saying in verses 14 through 16 especially, how God is just so prevalent in his life that he recognized his call and he knew that he was to preach to the Gentiles, and that's all he wanted to do. He wanted to perfect that. He wanted to be good at it. He wanted to do it so that he could present the Gentiles a sacrifice. And we know that when you present a sacrifice to God, you want to present something that is pleasing to him. That's what we need to be. Our bodies need to be a sacrifice pleasing to God. And so as we find Paul going through this and continuing to understand this, beginning in verse 17, as a result of this special ministry that he just got done talking about in 14 through 16, Paul says in verse 17, "I therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God." And what he's saying is he begins and he says, as a result of this ministry, it's God's grace to the Gentile. He just affirmed it. He says, "I glory only." And that word glory there is interesting because it's have a boasting. I have a boasting. I have a, and we say boasting is pridefulness. Paul said, "I'm proud. I am proud to the fact that God's called me to this ministry." And so it's not wrong. There's a righteous part. There's a righteous anger. There's a righteous boastfulness. And Paul was humbled, and we know that, and he was honored with this. But Paul says there in verse 17, again, in chapter 15, he says, "I therefore, whereof I may glory." That word glory in the Greek is boast. That I may continue to just be honored and be boasting in the fact that in Christ, in my service to God. So he's not technically boasting in himself, even though he's humbled and honored to be the one speaking. But he's boasting in Christ. And that to me is phenomenal. As he took his ministry seriously, as he understood that his ministry given to him by God was to preach Christ to the Gentiles, he said, "I'm going to boast about Christ. I'm boasting in Christ. I'm not boasting in me, my gifts, my abilities, my talent, my way of doing things. And I'm boasting in Christ." And so he took that, I think, in a very personal way and portrayed that in a way, basically, as we see here in the, and again, completing that verse 17, that in those things which pertain to God, those things which pertain to God, basically, those things were what? Those were the things that led the Gentiles to Christ. That's what those things mean in that verse. So you take it in the context, and what Paul was saying is, "I boast Christ because I want to be faithful in the things pertaining to the salvation, which is the ministry that I'm called to." And so Paul said, listen, it's all about Christ. It's all about the story. It's all about the ministry of sharing the gospel. And as he continued to have that, basically, also, to the Gentiles and obedience to God, Paul is saying as he gives that, as he does that, he's portraying the obedience of his calling. And I think that's the most important thing that Paul wanted to live. Paul simply wanted to live obedient to the calling that God gave him. Now, we realize that in order to be obedient to something, you got to know what the something is. And that's exactly what he was saying. I know he was so excited about being called into this ministry. He was boasting about Christ. And he's simply saying in this boasting of Christ, he said, I just want to be obedient in the ministry. Because also in 1 Peter 1:2, the word obey is the same Greek word of obedience. And in Romans 16:26, we have the word also. So everywhere in the scriptures, and especially in Acts 17:30, God said to be obedient means you need to repent. Again, we're only talking about the salvation message. And I'm afraid in the society in which we live today, there is so much distorted truth. Now, how can you have truth and still be distorted, or truth that's still truth if it's distorted? But I want you to think about something. You do a study on the phrases of Satan in Scripture, and I will guarantee 99% of everything he said was truth of Scripture. Everything. When he took Christ in Matthew 4 and tempted him, he quoted the truth of Scripture. Eve in the garden, he quoted the truth of Scripture. You see, the thing of it is, he quoted the truth completely out of context. So when you have somebody who may speak a little bit of truth out of context, listen, he ain't serving the right God. I'm a firm believer that those who teach truth out of context are following the wrong God. Satan is the one who does that. God doesn't do that, because that creates confusion, right? Who is the author of confusion? It's not God. Satan is the author of confusion. So when we see what Paul's saying, he said, listen, I want to stay the truth. I want to be obedient to my calling. I want to be obedient to boasting Christ, because that is my ministry. And he continued, and I just love the way he puts this together in understanding this ministry. He recognized basically that all the credit goes to Christ, even though Paul was involved. So how do we do that? How do we serve God in a way that everybody around us knows that it's God in us working through us? And you hear me say that all the time. It's God working through us. We are the conduit. We are the vessel. We are just the mouthpiece for God. And if that is true, which I really believe that's true, we are the mouthpiece, we are the conduit, we are the vessel, then whatever people see coming out of us and how we live our life through Christ, do you know that it defines Christ to them? You've got individuals who don't maybe know the definition of Christ, don't know the right God. Charlie handed me some paperwork. I'm too embarrassed to read some of the stuff. Some of the things that some of the, I'll tell you, well, now I did it. Anyway, pastors in training and future religious leaders. That's the name of the article. Duke University's Methodist Affiliated Divinity School. This is what they taught, or this is what they're teaching. A pride worship service in which glorified the great queer one. I don't want to read it anymore because there's a whole page full of the nonsense. That's what the younger generation is understanding about God, because they don't know any different. They don't understand anything different. And yet you and I sit here and we have the truth. And so Paul said, listen, I'm boasting in Christ. I'm letting it go. I know that Christ is everything, but yet at the same time, we know that Paul was being used. Look at verse 18. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought me, or Christ did not want me by me to take the Gentiles obedient by the word and deed. Paul said, I want to speak nothing to coerce, to do anything to these Gentile peoples to follow Christ unless God says it. It's no wonder Paul had a phenomenal ministry, is it? He had a heart and a love for his God that everything he spoke, he wanted his best to be sure that it was Christ would speak the same thing. And that's amazing to me. You really think about how many conversations you had today, how many people you talked to today, how many things you said today would Christ have said everything you did today? Boy, I tell you, when you really think through that, you start weighing that out there, you're really finding out that Paul says, I'm not going to talk things of me. But for the most part, when we listen to our conversations in our head, we do talk a lot more than what we probably should about everything except Christ. Paul said, that's all I want to boast about. That's all I want to talk about. So that's a goal, and I think a great goal in our lives. We need to be willing to talk about Christ more so than anything else. We need to be willing to show him through our lives more than anything else. And the only reason, again, Paul says, it's not me, it is Christ. Yet Paul's involved in it. God did all the work. In verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto the Cherium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now, again, we see that verse, and through the mighty signs and wonders, Paul and the apostles were able to do some phenomenal things. They were able to heal. They were able to do great things. But they were doing those things to authenticate their message. I do not believe we have those apostolic gifts today, because we have the Word of God to authenticate. We have a life lived for God to authenticate. Because when God takes a soul and changes it because they come repenting and changes that heart, that's the authenticity we need about there is a God. It's the changed life. And that's why Paul preaches it and how important it is. From Jerusalem to round about, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Paul said that's all that matters. Take that as the first century church, or first church that has begun, and Paul sharing all this to the Gentiles, to what we have today. How often is just Christ talked about? How often is Christ preached from the pulpits today? You have everything else under the sun. And so we've come a long way from where Paul is saying, listen, this is the most important thing. This is it. That's all he wanted to preach, was that concept. As he, again, the result, as he preached the gospel all over, basically, as it literally reads in the Greek, that from Jerusalem and in a circle. To Jerusalem and in a circle. Because if you know where these two cities are located, it's a circle. It's a complete circle that he went to. So no matter what Paul said, no matter where Paul went, it was all about Christ. And that was his life. And to me, it's phenomenal, because as the result of that, again, continues on, the gospel of Christ being preached, several of Paul's visits to Jerusalem after his conversion in Acts chapter 9, his messages were very, very potent and clearly stated Christ. That's all he preached. And so, you know, let me ask it this way. If you came to this church every Sunday and heard nothing but the salvation message of Christ, how long before you thought, really, is that all you know? Just think about that. Think about the churches and the preaching, and boy, you know, you have to have this said and that said, and you have to have all this stuff. And, you know, our standard, and I say this very carefully, our standard of what we expect when we come to church has changed. We're living in, and I'm, as a whole, I'm not saying us, just you guys. As a whole, when people come to church, it's to see what they can get. What can you give me? What can you do for me? How can you help me? How can you encourage me? I want you to do this, and I want you to preach this, and I want you to... And that's the whole concept is, when you come to church, you come to give. You come to be a part of giving back to God, not just listening and sitting and taking it all in. So we have come a long way, I think, from where Paul's heart is and from where Paul and the group of people that Paul is preaching to. And again, as we continue to understand this, in the latter part of 19, when the gospel is preached, verse 20 says, and yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. And that's an interesting verse when you see it, because, the graphical or the geographical text here, Paul basically declares to everywhere the outreach concept. He didn't want to go where it was named. His purpose was to be a true pioneer to the evangelistic message. Paul said, I don't want to do what somebody else is doing. I don't want to go where other people have gone. And it's saw a thing one time. It said something about don't take the trail that is often walked. Take the where there is no trail and leave a path. And that's exactly what Paul did. He wanted to leave a path. He wanted to be the pioneer evangelist. Go out there and share the gospel message to the places where nobody else would go. And I think that is one of the key things that we're missing in our church ministries today. Going out where no one else will go. Reaching the people who no one else wants to reach. And I think that's exciting. That's the important part. Because there's nothing like the encouragement of a young babe in Christ, is there? Boy, somebody that accepts Christ in their life and they get all excited and it's just that excitement is very easy to generate excitement in you. And so that's the joy. That's what we need to see. So I'm going to close with verse 20 tonight, because I think it's interesting to know that Paul strived to be the one who set the path that led people to Christ. Wouldn't it be a great goal for your life? Wouldn't you love to tell God, listen, God, wherever I go, I want to be the one that sets the path. I don't want to follow the path that other people laid. And on an epitaph on somebody's tombstone, I know I've used this many times, but somebody read on the tombstone, follow me. And after they saw that on somebody's tombstone, somebody went by and wrote, follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. Just don't follow. Lead. Set the path. Be the one like Paul that God uses to show people how to get to Christ. And I'll tell you, your life will be lived a little easier. Your life will be more joyful. It's not going to mean that you're going to have a perfect life and you're not going to make mistakes and you're not going to have any effects of what this evil world can do. But what it means is that you're like Paul. You're going to be able to say, you know what? I know what my ministry is and I'm going to do all I can to make it work. I'm going to strive. That's our effort. Our effort is to strive. But God's doing all the work in us. God's doing all of that for us and through us. And that's exactly what Paul was saying tonight. So I trust you take that and put some goals in your life because of that, so that you can also say the same as Paul, that I don't want to go where people have already gone. I want to set the path. I want to make the path that to people that nobody else will go to situations that nobody else wants to be involved in, because I want to share Christ in those places. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for study tonight. And God, I pray we continue to just allow our hearts to ponder that truth. And Father, it's exciting to know that you are in the business of blazing trails. Father, it's not that we have to follow what others may do and what others may say and think, but Lord, it's just simply you. And you will take us at times to places and to involved in things that others may not want to be involved in, or people, or the group of people. And Lord, I just pray that we continue to boast in your Son, Christ, because that's what makes the difference. And Father, we just thank you and praise you in your Son's name. Amen.